Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that's 10a. We're about three quarters of the way down at the new Mishnah towards the bottom of the page. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, we are talking about things that you are allowed and not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of the festival. This particular Mishnah is interested in the needs of the Moed. So we're going to be talking about grinding grain to make flour, because in order to feed the communities and their families, they had to grind a certain amount of flour for the needs of the Moed. I guess they couldn't grind all of it before the festival, so some of it had to be ground on the festival itself. And I think the way they would do it is that there were, in any community, there were maybe one or two millstones, and there were milleries. There were places where you could take your personal grain, and you could pay them to grind it for you. So the question is, what work related to milling and to millstones are you allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? Now, I don't know if this first phrase is referring to an individual person. I don't know if people had their own millstones, or if it refers to the communal needs. So if it refers to communal needs, it may also be Tzarchei Rabim. But it seems to be that we're talking about the issue of Tzarchei Moed here. The Mishnah says, "Ma'amidin tanur v'chirayim v'rechayim b'moed." So it talks actually about three different kinds of implements here, that we're going to focus on one of them. It says, you may set up, ma'amidin means to erect. Tanur is an oven. So an oven was, their kinds of oven were stone structures where you could put, there was a hollow space that was enough to put two pots into. V'chirayim was a second sort of oven, but it was a narrower oven where you could put one pot into. When we talk about Hilchot Shabbat, there are specific differences between tanur v'chirayim. The heat in a tanur was higher than that of a chirayim. And then the last implement here is a rechayim, which is a set of millstones. And the way it worked is you had two large circular stones that you would put on top of each other. And in between the two stones, you would pour grain. So what happened is on the top stone, there was a hole, and you would pour the grain into the top hole, and it would go into sort of like a little enclosure that was in between the two stones. And then they had a bar that sort of went through a like a center pole, and they would hook up two donkeys or horses to the bars, and they would turn the top millstone over the bottom millstone, and the grain was caught in between the two stones, and as they turned it around, it would grind the grain into flour. So it's unclear which part of ma'amidin, what it refers to. It does not seem to refer to actually creating the millstones, which seems like it would be forbidden on the festival. It seems like if you had millstones, you could set them up, meaning you could mount them on top of each other and perhaps put the pole through there. It's not 100% clear which thing you're allowed to do here, but if you have a millstone that is not quite ready to function, you're definitely ready to get it ready to function on the festival, according to the Tanna Kamma. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, "Ein mechabshin et harechayim batchila." You may not be mechabesh the millstones at first. So again, we're not sure exactly what this is, but this is a limitation to what the Tanna Kamma said. So the Gemara is going to ask, what is mechabshin? But Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you can't do whatever you want to related to these millstones. There are some limitations. So let's go to the Gemara, and we'll discuss it in further depth. Gemara, my mechabshin. The Gemara asks, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says mechabshin? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, and I don't know if this is the same Rabbi Yehuda is the Mishnah, which would seem to make it clear what his opinion is, or it's a different Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Menake Rechaya. Rabbi Yehuda says, you groove them. So in order for the millstones to work properly, they couldn't be 100% smooth. They didn't catch the grain well enough. What you needed to do was to cut sort of like ridges into the bottom of the millstone so that when you turned it, it would pull up the grain and crush them. So this grooving was not such an easy act. I mean, it was a labor-intensive act. You had to score the stone to create grooves in it. So what Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, if this was the case, is that that is too much tircha to do on Yantif. The other reason, on Chol HaMoed, the other reason why you might not be able to do it on Chol HaMoed is because it's not 100% necessary. From time to time, you had to rescore the old mill, the old stones, but you could still grind with them. It just wouldn't be optimal. So you would be able to grind with them on Chol HaMoed, and then after the holiday, you could cut new ridges in there. The only question is whether or not if they were sufficiently worn that they wouldn't grind the grain well, then perhaps it would affect your Simchas Yom Tov because you wouldn't have well-ground grain. That's the question. Rav Yechiel says a different thing. He says, Bat Eina, the eye hole. So as I mentioned, the top stone had a hole in the middle of it, and you would pour the grain into it. So what Rav Yechiel is saying is you can't cut that hole on Chol HaMoed, meaning you can set up a millstone, but you cannot create the millstone by boring that center hole on Chol HaMoed. So we're going to try to prove which of these seems more likely. Meitveh, we ask a question. Ma'amidin tanur v'chiraim b'moed. We have another braita that says you may set up an oven tanur and a chiraim oven b'moed on the festival. Now the Gilui Hashas adds one extra word here because we have not really been talking about the ovens. We're only talking about the millstones. So he adds the word v'chiraim and also the millstones, not v'chiraim, v'rechaim, and the millstones b'moed. Ubilvad, here's the new information that was not in our Mishnah. Ubilvad shelo yigmor melachtan, as long as you don't complete them. In other words, one of the ways in which you can acknowledge that it's a festival is by doing it with a shinui. So here, usually you would set it up and completely finish it, but as long as you leave something undone, that's considered a shinui for Chol HaMoed. That's the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. V'chachamim omrim af yigmor. The chachamim are mekil, they're lenient, and they say you can actually finish it. You're allowed to do it as you would ordinarily do it. If you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmo, Rabbi Yehuda modifies the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So when it says Mishmo in his name, it means he's explaining Rabbi Eliezer. Ma'amidin et hachadasha, you are able to set up a new millstone. That is, so you have a new set of millstones that's never been mounted before, you can mount them. U'mechabshin et hayeshana, and if you have to rescore the old one, then you're allowed to rescore the old one. But what are you not allowed to do, according to Rabbi Yehuda? You're not allowed to score the new stones. So if you have new stones that have not yet been scored, you'd have to use them in a smooth way, and it wouldn't be as good on the festival. If you have old stones that are already scored, apparently to rescore them was not such a big deal. So here we have a distinction between an old set and a new set. And then we have to ask the question in the Mishnah, when the Tanakhama says Ma'amidin Tanur V'chiraim, is it talking about a new set or an old set? Rashi there indicates that he's talking about a new set related to setting it up, but then Mechabshin is referring to an old set of millstones, not a new set. And finally, we have a fourth opinion, V'yesh Omrim. This is the most stringent opinion. V'yesh Omrim, some say, there are those who say, Ein Mechabshin Kol Ikar, you may not score the stones at all. Now, it's unclear about Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who says, Ein mechabshin et harechayim, but he says, batchila, in the beginning. In other words, he says, you cannot score new millstones, but old millstones you would be able to, as opposed to the Yesh Omrim that says, scoring of any kind is forbidden on the festival. That's a more stringent opinion than any of the ones we saw in our Mishnah. So, just to review, we basically have four opinions. The most, we haven't seen the most lenient opinion yet. The most lenient opinion is that of the Chachamim, who say you can set up a millstone on Chol HaMoed, and you can even complete it. That opinion doesn't say anything about scoring. Rabbi Eliezer, which is a little bit less, says you can set up the new millstones, but you cannot complete them. And he also doesn't say anything about scoring, but what Rabbi Yehuda says is that explains in his name that what he means is you can set up new millstones and you can score old ones. The fourth opinion, the Yesh Omrim, which is the most stringent, is that you may not score them at all. Bishlam alaman da amar mechabshi menake rechaya. This makes sense according to the one who says that mechabshin means that you are scoring the stones. Hainu de mishkachas la bishana, because you'll find old grooves in the old stones, and then you're just refreshing them. So there's a distinction to be made between rescoring a stone and scoring a stone for the first time. Elamanda amar bat ena, but if according to the one who says that it's about putting the eye hole in the middle of the stone, yishana bat ena lamala. Why would an old stone not have an eye hole? In other words, you can use a millstone even without scoring it. It doesn't work as well, but you can still use it. But how can you use a millstone without an eye hole? You have nowhere to pour the grain into. So you're never going to have an old millstone that doesn't have an eye in it already. In which case, this whole braita that we were discussing seems to imply that when it talks about mechabshin, it's only referring to scoring the grooves, not to putting the eye hole in. But the Gemara answers, kigon, well, there is a case, dekabay la arvuche tve porta, if he wants to widen the eye hole a little. In other words, we're not talking about putting a brand new eye hole in, but we're talking about taking an existing eye hole and making it larger. And therefore, it could also theoretically apply to an old stone. So it's an inconclusive proof. Now we have a story. Rav Huna, Shamei Lahu Gavra, heard a certain man, meaning it sounds like he didn't see it with his own eyes, but he heard, I guess it was probably a very loud noise when you score a millstone. To Kamenake Rechaya, he was cutting a millstone, Bechula Dmoada, on Chol Hamoed. Now, it's not 100% clear what this word menaker means. Menaker means to put a hole in, but so that sounds like he's cutting the eye hole, but it's possible that it's referring to scoring it as well. Amar, so what Rav Huna said when he heard this is, man hai, who's doing that? Itchil gufe, let his body rot, dekam machil chula d'mada, because he is desecrating the chol hamoed. So he was very upset about it. Savar la, says the Gemara, he says, Rav Huna held ki yesh omrim, like the yesh omrim. In other words, he held that you weren't allowed to score the stones at all. Now, it's still not clear whether it means you're not allowed to score the stones or you're not allowed to widen the eye hole. One of those two is what he meant, but he held like the more stringent opinion that you weren't allowed to do it at all. Okay, Darash Rav Chama. Rav Chama made a drasha. And he said, "No kriin rechayim b'moed. You may put a hole in the millstones in the festival." Again, we don't know what putting that hole in is. Is it the eye hole, or does it mean creating the grooves? Mishum Rabbeinu. You have to add the word Rabbeinu in the name of our rabbi, which would be Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Meir Amar. Rabbi Meir said, "Afilu sus shorochev alav, even a horse that you're riding on the horse, v'chamor shorochev alav, and a donkey that you're riding on it, mutar litol tzipornayim, you can trim their hooves, b'chulo shamoid, on chol hamoid. Why do you want to do that? You want to do that because if their hooves get long, then it causes them pain and they won't walk, they won't go. And you need them in order to push the bar around the millstone so that it will grind the grain. And you don't want to either have a situation where they won't do the work or where doing the work will cause them pain, because then it's tzar bali chayim. So if you need to, you can trim their hooves. Now, to me, this would seem like a problem of something you were supposed to do before Chol HaMoed. And if you were supposed to do it before the Moed, if you were supposed to do it before the festival, I don't know how you have permission to do it now, but perhaps it wasn't yet a problem before the Moed, so maybe you're allowed to do it now. We just flipped the page to Daf 10b, Daf Yiramud Bet. Aval Chamra de Rechaya lo. So ordinarily, you're allowed to, so what he says here is that you're allowed to trim the hooves of a donkey and a horse that you ride on, but not a chamer de rechaya, not the donkey that turns the millstones. That you're not allowed to trim them. And maybe that is the way. Well, no, Rashi says for a different reason. Rashi says that you only need to grind a small amount of grain for the needs of the festival. Like if you're not grinding a lot of grain, you're only grinding a little, you probably don't really need to trim their hooves. You can just get it done just for the next couple days. So you don't really need to grind it to trim their nails. You can do it afterwards. Rabbi Yehuda permits lemishkal tufre lechamer derechaya to take off the nails or the hooves of the donkeys that turn the millstone. So he is more lenient in this, and he allows you to do it. And he also allows, more leniently, le'ukme rechaya, to set up a millstone, ulemivne rechaya, and even to build the structure for a millstone, ulemivne amat rechaya, and to build the base of a millstone, ulemivne uria, and to build a barn. Or this is not exactly a barn, but it's some kind of structure for the donkeys who are turning the millstones. So he says all of these things you can do. And Tosfos asked the question about how much labor you're really allowed to do here. In other words, when we say you're allowed to erect a set of millstones, that doesn't mean that you're allowed to chisel out a set of millstones from the rock, or that you're allowed to create a set of millstones from scratch. It seems like we're only talking about a set of millstones that is nearly completed, and you're allowed to set it up so that it functions on Chol HaMoed for the sake of the needs of the community for Chol HaMoed, but other than that, you're not allowed to do it. We'll stop there at the top of Daf 10b, Yud Amud Bet, and we'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.